Now, the rest of the story. The rest of the story is going to be spelled with an R rating today due to some mature subject matter. And I guess the true story you're about to hear may not be suitable for just anyone, but we're going to talk about a fellow named Bram Stoker, a prominent theater manager during the Victorian era. We're going to talk about his wife, and then we're going to discuss the one unspecial, predictably Victorian difficulty between man and wife. First, understand Bram Stoker was a genuinely gentle man. He was the general manager of the celebrated Lyceum Theater Company, and those in his employ describe him as, quote, one of the most kind and tender-hearted of men, filling a difficult position with great tact. Everywhere that he went, Bram Stoker drew that sort of reaction. He was a sweet guy, they say, an easy goer, a getter-alonger. And as is often the case with nice fellows, he had a problem that he never talked about, a family problem, one of those touchy things. You see, Bram had married a woman named Florence Balcom, one of the great beauties of her time. A photograph or two survive her, so we know that her attractiveness was not a myth. At any rate, she was courted by everyone who was anyone, even Oscar Wilde, another Victorian luminary. But in the end, Florence wound up with Bram Stoker, good old easygoing Bram. Now, this marriage of theirs couldn't have looked better. The handsome young theater manager and his beautiful young wife, they were adored as the darling couple throughout society, and then came the birth of their only child, Noel, and the fairy tale quality of their romance seemed consummate. Let's not judge Florence too harshly from here on. After all, we don't really know her that well. For the time being, we'll suppose that the childbirth was very difficult, so difficult, perhaps, that the thought of bearing future children was unbearable. Anyway, for whatever reason, the biographers tell us that Florence lost her love for Bram, and because of her indifference, affection between them came to an end. Now remember, this is good old, undemanding, easygoing Bram. This is the Bram Stoker who was known for his honesty, the Bram Stoker who gave to his friends without ever asking in return. So you know why he would never demand affection of his wife, why he would never complain to her, or to anyone for that matter. And that's why, from all outward appearances, Bram's marriage remained intact. But it was not intact. And the truth would come out one day in a very sad way. And the latent hostility of a nice guy who felt himself finishing last, his submerged feelings would surface also. Bram Stoker and his wife would continue to live their celebrated life with friends like Walt Whitman and Mark Twain and Teddy Roosevelt. They could expect the heat of the limelight. But at night, Bram Stoker became somebody else. For the problems that he could or would not work out at home, he sought to solve otherwise. Bram died in his 60s of syphilis. He left the world the shattered illusion of a one-time fairy tale romance, and he left a book. For Bram Stoker was also an author, and though we have forgotten about him as such, no one will ever forget the monster that grew out of his ill-fated marriage. He is with us still, as the character women dared not, could not resist. For tender-hearted, undemanding Bram Stoker exhumed that buried resentment for his wife in his private life and then wrote a book about it. The book you never knew until now was an autobiography. I said the book you never knew until now was an autobiography, for it was about the man Bram became when the sun went down. Dracula. And now you know the rest of the story.